ZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Pentagon experts are continuing their assessing of how much damage the Saturday U.S. air attacks did to Iran's nuke program. Iran's foreign minister is in Moscow to meet with Russian President Putin. ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
Here at home, law enforcement also on high alert. Homeland Security warning state and local officials of a heightened threat environment.
Nearly 50 heat records for this day could be equaled or broken, forecasters say. About 150 million Americans are under heat alerts from Texas to Maine. A lot of folks have much to clean up, says ABC's Allison Kosick.
New York's governor issuing a state of emergency for more than 30 counties after heavy rain and dangerous flash flooding slammed parts of the state. Outside Utica, at least three people were killed, including six-year-old twins. The violent weekend of weather stretching across the country.
Took seven games, but the Oklahoma Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers and are the new NBA champs. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
The weekend was a record breaker with temperatures soaring over 90 degrees in Wisconsin and heat indices reaching 105. Green Bay broke its record from 1910 with its 94-degree high on Sunday. Expect more of the same today with a high of about 93 or above, with a cold front moving through this evening, bringing with it rain and storms and cooler temperatures through the mid-portion of the week.
We're entering the glory days of summer, but as temperatures rise, the Wisconsin State Patrol is urging drivers to stay cool behind the wheel. Melissa Kay reports.
The State Patrol's law of the month for June is to avoid reckless driving. This includes one or more of the following behaviors: speed, improper lane changes, distracted driving, and erratic or aggressive behaviors. In 2024, 138 people died and more than 3,000 were hurt in more than 5,600 reckless driving crashes in Wisconsin. Two out of three of these crashes involved speed or distracted driving. The tragedies that can result from reckless driving are preventable. The Wisconsin State Patrol urges drivers to follow posted speed limits, avoid distractions, and be patient on the road.
It's June Dairy Month, and Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection are highlighting the economic impact of the dairy industry. According to the DATCP data, the dairy industry contributes over $50 billion of economic impact in the state and supports over 120,000 jobs. Wisconsin has more dairy farms than any other state in the country, and about 80% of the milk produced here is exported. About 20% of Wisconsin's milk products are exported internationally. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Pirates come to town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Pirates face off tonight at AmFam Field. Milwaukee with a 9-8 win over the Twins and a three-game sweep in Minnesota. The last time that happened was 1996. The Brewers now in second place, just 3.5 games behind the Cubs in the NL Central. The Cubs losing yesterday 14-6 to the Mariners. Racing, Alex Palou wins the Expel IndyCar Grand Prix at Road America in Elkhart Lake, becoming the first driver since A.J. Foyt in 1975 to win six of the first nine races of the season. NBA, Oklahoma City Thunder are the NBA champions after beating the Pacers in OKC in Game 7, 103-91. Say Gilgeous-Alexander, leading with 29 points, showing concern for the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton, who suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the first quarter.
Like, I couldn't imagine playing the biggest game of my life and something like that happening. It's so unfortunate. It's not fair.
That's the Thunder's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be hot and humid again today. The heat index is going to be back up to near 100 or better this afternoon. Then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later today, and some of those could be strong to severe with hail, wind gusts, and tornadoes possible. So stay weather aware here throughout the day today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that. Back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news headlines and also State Senator Kelda Royce. Will the Joint Finance Committee actually meet this week? She'll tell us. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a good-looking Monday morning. 80 degrees in Green Bay, 79 in Appleton, 78 in Oshkosh. I lost a $20 bet to Jim this morning because I did not think we ever hit over 100 degrees in Green Bay, but Brittany Merlot said, yes, we have. So,
and then we're working on the second $20 bet. Why would you win at the track yesterday?
I almost, you know what? I was going to go to Oneida to bet on the NBA game last night. I would have won.
So would I. Yeah, I would have won.
Got some text here. William says 1,400 people did the Ironman in Rockford, Illinois yesterday.
Wow.
Mike says, when I was in the Navy, I spent two tours of the Persian Gulf. I remember one time going through the Straits of Hormuz, and it was 125 degrees as we started the third level of the ship. I never knew it could get that hot.
Yeah.
125 degrees.
That's hot.
Sarah says, save the change for a self-checkout. All right, Sarah.
Got plenty.
Todd says, go to Capital Credit Union and Fox Communities. They will
see,
take the change.
Those credit unions, they try hard. They work hard. So that's $40 I want today. This is good. What else? What are things you're thinking?
Well, I'll tell you what. Dave Deprey, who just walked in through the door, cost me $20 because he verified the change thing.
Dave, thank you, Dave.
It's been good having you on. Thanks for coming in.
Right.
Thanks.
Goodbye. See you, Dave. I'm going to donate $20 to you because that's
that's awesome.
I'll tell you what, Joe Vertigan put us in. You and I go way back, but man, you've got an interesting life. A lot more than us.
I'm lucky.
I said, Jim, you know, I went to Ribfest and I bought a six pack of Summer Shandy, and that was my weekend. And Jim went to graduations or different things. And you just came back from Pocono, or the big NASCAR race. Tell us about your life, your experience in an exciting, exciting field.
Especially after,
after working my real job.
After being a prison guard.
You're enjoying retirement like no one else.
Well, like I said, with COVID, post-COVID, I was able to retire with my age and the years I had service. So I saw the light.
And that was here.
In Green Bay.
Yep.
Then I've been involved in auto racing my whole life. And I met Joe Vertigan through the prison.
Right.
But I was able to get a spotter job down at Road America for a NASCAR team because I had worked at tracks. And
people what that is.
You're basically the eyes for the driver,
right.
And with such a big track there, you have to have three spotters.
You can't see the whole thing.
No. So you have to somebody to cover corners and whatnot. So I had an opportunity to do that, and I was like, well, this is great. I want to do some more.
Where are you when you're spotting?
There they put you in different positions. You have to have one spot where...
Are you on the level, or are you up on
up high somewhere.
Okay, yes,
yeah. But you're required at every track they have...
Right.
You're with the NASCAR officials. Someone has
I want to get
there.
Up there sometime. This is a guy who watches that. That'd be a cool angle. Anyway, go ahead.
I did that for the first year, helping out a team out of South Carolina. And so I said, I can do more. So the next year I did 13, but I just started helping on the car because was way out of my league because I when I on some of the tracks I got to Indy and they put me up in a great big pagoda. Wow. If you've been there, and I said I can't do this here. I said I'm going to kill your driver. I wasn't ready for that, and by any means. I mean, the spotter is such an important job.
No, I just want to say one thing, Dave. I think two sports that television doesn't do justice: pro hockey and racing, big time racing. Okay.
Correct.
And because the speed of both sports is unbelievable. If anybody could go to Road America and get on that bridge that goes across right from the press box and stand above there and watch these cars go by underneath you,
correct,
you'll have such a different appreciation for what these people do. It's incredible. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. Well, when I worked for a short track team years ago in the 90s, I had to end up giving up traveling with that. So I became an official, which Joe got me into that. I became a flagman.
Yeah.
So I did that for about 24 years. And standing in that flag tower and having the cars and the WIRs, even on the dirt track with the wing sprint cars, it is amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes right through your body.
It does. It goes right through your legs, right through your body. Yeah. Yep.
The ultimate way to understand it is to be in the car. We did a mayor's conference in Indianapolis one time and they took us out, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've been in the car. Did you race as well?
I raced one race in my entire life, and Joe put me up to it. I think you were in that race at 141, and I was supposed to be in the fireman and police race the week before, and then there was the media race.
Yeah.
So Joe put me up as Dave Daniels of WXYZ.
Did I win?
I led every lap but one, and it was a driver. That was an actual driver before. Well, he punted me into the corner on the very last.
You know, I got to tell you something, though. It's funny because people are like, oh my God, you're only going like 30 miles an hour. No, we were going like 75 or whatever, and it felt like you were hanging on for dear life.
Yeah.
Wasn't it, though? It was like a whole different feeling when you're inside that car.
I was ready to give my heart and my wallet to the owner of the car. I said, I'll pay for it. I want to do it again.
Yep, absolutely. What a great career, though.
How fun.
Second, sidelight you've got.
Well, I'm now into my seventh year with NASCAR stuff.
Right.
And I work for a team out of Florida, Lake Wales, Florida, Mario Gosselin Racing. Oh. He's originally a Canadian driver. They move families all down in Florida. And it's a husband and a wife, and they have two daughters that they run this team it's David versus Goliath every weekend.
Wow.
And it's amazing, and I'm blessed every week to be able to do it. So
that's awesome.
So there's probably people listening who would love your job right now.
There's some, and I try to give them the direction.
Okay, I would love your job right now.
But what I want to say about, and I said this before we went on the air, I think the racing industry is super friendly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's like, I told them, it's like going to a tailgate party every race.
Yeah.
You want a beer? It's
like, a week ago, we were just racing in Mexico City. NASCAR took the top two tier leagues, the Cup and the Xfinity Series down there. It was amazing, but people were really against it. Everybody was apprehensive going out of the country.
Yeah.
So it turned out to be great, 90% great. There were some snafus, a little travel here and there, but a few people with the food. But it was awesome. And
I've always felt that the two of all the interviews I've done in covering sports over my lifetime, the two groups of people that are like the most genuinely nice are hockey players and race car drivers. And I really and truly mean that.
I still play hockey too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I play in a senior league on Sunday night at Cornerstone.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
35 and older.
Nice.
I'm 58.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And I'm gonna talk about the racing. I'll talk about you. But I just want to say that we talk about active seniors, how socialization is something that we have to do more of, and be it volunteering or you get paid, but I mean volunteering at a community event or being in a senior hockey thing. But because that isolation is right up there with cancer. It's very, very, very serious, and depression.
Yeah.
So,
I
mean, you're a good example of how to live life after.
You have to. I'm lucky. I'm blessed every day. Like, I'm a military vet.
Yeah.
I did that 5 days after high school. I saw some stuff, learned some stuff, got out, worked in the prison for 30 years, saw way too much stuff.
Right.
And then things happened. We all go through things in life, and you build up and you survive it and you keep moving on. And
people don't realize, with NASCAR, though, I mean, those guys are rock stars when they show up at a place, aren't they?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's and humbling at the same time. I'm like, how am I being able to rub elbows with all these people? Like, We had Emmett Smith in our pit box. He's associated with another gentleman.
Mike Stepak from Green Bay here. He worked NASCAR for many, many years for Fox. And he says the same thing. These guys are rolling rock stars when they come into town.
It's pretty cool. And it's honorable and it's fun. And I just love it. And people are like, how do you like doing this? It's hard work. These guys that are full-time, they work their tails off. They really do.
There's a very small margin of error, isn't there?
Yeah. You don't want to leave a nut or a bolt loose on something. Right. And so that's why I limit myself what I do on the cars.
Right.
Like, and they know that. And I'm a support role, kind of like a linebacker in a kitchen. Make sure everything's where it needs to be. And I'm like, they call me the tape guru kind of guy.
Make sure everything is like specific.
Oh.
So you don't get fined, whatever.
If the boss needs something, because I'm working for the crew chiefs, if he needs something, I want to make sure I have the right tool ready for him when he needs it. So,
a couple questions. How many people are on that team? So you have who's your driver?
Right now we have Ryan Ellis.
Okay,
and we have two cars with the potential of having four because the team owns the number. So some days you'll have like Daytona. We had Natalie Decker last year, and we had two other drivers. So Josh Blicky from down by Milwaukee and Hubertus area, he drives 75% of the other car, and then they switch it up. Guys bring sponsorship and to the game. But like I said, to be a car owner in that league alone, I don't know how they do it. And I ask them, my boss, every week.
The money wise?
Yeah.
Right.
Even to bring me along and I'm
right.
You know?
Yeah. And then, I want to ask you something else about that. I'll go back. I got to think about that. I want to talk about the industry. Like, you guys have bigger stadiums than NFL stadiums.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it people still loving it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go, it has changed, but. You used to go to Bristol.
It's gotten expensive.
It
hasn't
is.
Hasn't it, though? Yeah. I mean, I remember I used to go to some races when I lived in Phoenix, in Arizona. We had the PIR, Phoenix International Raceway, and the different thing. And it was like $5 or whatever. And now I got buddies that, you know, used to travel around and follow certain guys. Because I will say this, that's one of those sports where you've got a guy and you follow them. And they're talking about Chicago and some of these places. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's an expensive ticket.
We're in Chicago for the 4th of July this weekend.
Are you?
It's our third year.
Wow.
Yeah, the street course they're putting it together right now.
So, that's where you go through the city.
Correct.
Yeah. That's a very, very popular race. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Everybody was against it in the beginning.
Yeah.
But until you experience it.
Well, Detroit did that too. I remember when Detroit did that and people were like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Well, that's kind of the way Elkhart started, and they would race through the city.
Yeah, that was many, many moons ago.
Yes,
Why they still do that parade.
They do
Elkhart with the race cars,
and it's six deep. The people that come out for that, you know, that's only 900 people in that whole city, but they get thousands of people there for that race.
I'm hoping to get NASCAR to go back there because they left a couple years ago.
Yeah, they did.
Chicago took that date, but that place was just packed.
I used to love covering that. Actually, the two things I loved the most covering at Road America was when the Indy cars. I'd be interviewing, like, I remember I interviewed Paul Newman.
Yeah,
and, Mario Andretti. And it's like, oh, this is really cool.
I was with my nephew at Elkhart, and we met Mario because he did a school report on him. Okay. And he actually did a phone interview with him, met him, and what a swell guy.
Great guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tiny. A lot of those racers are so small, aren't they?
You got to be a jockey.
You got to be, But I'll tell you what, the courage, I don't care what anybody says about sports, the courage it takes to get into one of those cars and go 200 miles an hour is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's like the guy I travel with every week, he's from down by the Rockford area, Rob Goodman, and he works for a Chevy dealership. He makes sure I don't get on the wrong airplane. That's why I always say that one. And, he raced, and I hear the stories, and he built this car from scratch, and then you're putting your butt in that seat.
Yeah.
And it's like, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, but all these drivers and the cars, and it's so big that, you know, your local, so many guys from this area can actually go do that.
Yeah.
So, but it's tough to make a living, though, doing that stuff.
Well, it's, you know, there's so many cars in these fields these days, though, huh?
I think
there's too many. What do you think?
At our division league, I don't know about that.
Okay.
But because, you know, like guaranteed fields are in the cup thing with these charters and the money that they get. It's like unbelievable. So for us, there's usually an average of like two or three cars that go home.
Okay.
Because you don't qualify because they only limit you so many to start.
My brother's he lives in Tucson. He's a big follower. There's a kid from Tucson that's in the cup now. And just following him, it's like, it's people don't understand the journey. Just to be in that field on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. And some of the young guys coming in now don't understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard
would it break? Oh, we're going to go to break. I want to talk about women this in racing, stuff. Too, when we come back.
Okay.
Dave Dupree, back right after this. There was this letter I read. If you like Kenya Colada. This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor. Hey, Jim, have you checked out Pickle and Bags in Oshkosh yet?
No, what's that, Johnny?
Oh, it's an awesome place. 4 indoor pickleball courts that can be booked 24-7, plus leagues, tournaments, private and group lessons for all skill levels.
Okay, that sounds like a party place.
Oh, it is, and it's not just for pickleball. They have the most dynamic venue in the valley with a full bar so you can host corporate outings, birthday and retirement parties, live bands, even weddings.
I could throw a party there and play pickleball all day?
Absolutely. Check it all out at picklebags.com or on Facebook.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info at WISS.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is gone again for Hoskins.
Brewers Baseball on WISS is brought to you by Addison Jones Realty, Zeroni's Macaroni Pizza Pub, Green Thumb Organics, and Berkshire Hathaway Water City Realty. Catch Brewers Baseball all season long on WISS. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Monday morning, 80 degrees in Green Bay, 79 in Appleton, 78 in Oshkosh, high in the high 80s today, and maybe some really nasty storms coming in. We're with a really interesting guy, Dave Dupree. We go way back, prison guard, and works for NASCAR, which I just think is awesome. I mean, it's like, man, I'm so jealous of what a great weekend job you have, friend.
It's us telling him at break, it's like, probably everybody would like his job.
Everybody would love this job.
How did you get into that? And talk a little bit about your dad. That you had this as you were a kid, right? In high school?
Yep. My dad, my grandpa was a mechanic on the north side of town. He worked on all the Packer players' cars. Because if he can't fix it, nobody can, kind of thing. So my cousin, Craig Letourneau, from Green Bay, worked at Keene Buick. He raced. So I got to be a little kid, get my hands dirty. Well, then as the time progressed, I went out of high school, went to the military, got out, started helping again. So my cousin backed out of it because cost of racing got to be so much.
Yeah.
Well, then I was able to link up with a guy out of Minnesota named Jim Weber. You remember him from
WR?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Said, hey, need any help? He goes, what can you do? I said, put gas in your car. I can tighten your lug nuts, grab a hold. So it started there, did that, helped him for 5 years. Then I had to quit traveling. So Joe Vergen, I met him at the prison. Says, hey, you know, they're looking for official jobs, spotters and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, I did that. So I don't have to, I can be home every night. So then, hey, you want to be a, they need a flagman. So then I went to Chilton. Then I went to Seymour, then Luxembourg. And just, it took off. I was doing 3 to 4 nights a week traveling with Joe.
I love those small tracks.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the flagman, the checkered flag, the caution flag, that's all you?
Yeah.
So who's Jimmy used to go to 141 in high school just to chase chicks.
Yeah. That well?
And he admits it.
Was there any pizzas thrown up on the ceiling? I heard the stories about that place.
What? Oh, yeah.
That flag man.
Joe, tell you about the time he had to control me from going down after my producer. You ever tell you that
story? No. Okay, no. I'm going to hear it, though. That's yeah. You will.
Any nerves with that? Because you're listening to somebody telling you, and there's got to be a little pressure with that, because if you do that wrong, it's like,
you definitely, it's a pucker moment. And as technology moved on, the race receivers, they call them, every driver has communication in their ear, and someone up in the scoring tower saying, hey, there's a caution or whatnot, they help you out. Well, when that first started out, I had the headset with that and talking, so one button on one side and the other on the other, and you're going to green next time by, and you got to get your stuff together, and you know. But the best thing with that, you have to talk to the drivers after the race. If they're mad at you, they're coming at you.
Right.
So my policy was, if you hit me, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to press charges.
You know what's funny about that is those guys are so unbelievably competitive, okay? Yeah. But before a race, if somebody needs a part or whatever, everybody will help.
For the most part.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Beforehand, they're all great. But then once that flag goes down, unbelievably competitive.
And then it's later on if something happens with that driver you helped.
Right.
Don't ever do that again.
There'll be a fight in the pits. Yeah.
It can happen. It can happen.
Why would a driver be upset with the flag man?
For a call, or I didn't see somebody. A guy way over another corner hit me somewhere here, there, you missed this. And I'm like, but back then that's where the starter, that's what you called the official, was... You called me at all. You made all the calls.
Wow.
And it's on you. So, and I was like, got to learning after a couple guys get in your face and they're hot. They just got to have a race car. It's 130 degrees and spit a little bit. And maybe they've had time to cool off before I got an hour more to work. And they come and jump on you right at the end of the night. So you give them half an hour to cool off, talk. I said, we'll talk about it. And after that, and if you've been drinking a beer or two already, so you better have one for me or we're just going to be done here.
Okay, so. I'm going to say this, though, too, because I covered racing for a lot of years. Some guys are just jerks.
I don't know.
Some are. As a person. We all come from
different areas.
There's a couple
I can name.
I could throw in a couple of names and you would agree.
They could be mean and nasty, but I don't know. I look, you're being the official, you got to judge everybody equally. All working in the joint, you had to... treat everything buddy equally.
So tell us, we got so many things we could talk to you about. Tell us about being a prison guard.
I needed a job with a benefit plan to take care of my family when I got out of service.
Sure.
Okay.
So, and back at $8.09 an hour. Yeah. When I first started, 1990. Wow. And I'm like, I could do this. I was a police officer, cop in the Air Force.
Okay.
So I'm like, I could do this. And I got my eyes opened real quick. Remember Brian Tilkey?
Yeah.
He's another racer. Dan Lewis Photography. All of us worked in the prison. Tom Christensen, he was a flagman. He was my captain. So racing I got accepted into that fraternity there.
One of my great listeners from my old show, Mino and Devin Mann, or Mino Nick, was Walking Boss, we called him. We gave everybody a nickname. He's from Francis Creek. Because they would call us while they were working, so we had to use
a
different name.
Yeah. Yes. Can I get an outside line, please? Yeah. Yeah. I remember people trying to do that.
Yeah.
The career in prison, and there's openings. Right?
They're looking a lot now.
They're looking a lot now. That's what I mean. And I don't want my knowledge. I've been through there a number of times, but is on should we keep it open or not? But I don't want to ask you about that. But how was that career? I mean, you went there for benefits and to take care of your family, and God bless you for that. But then you stayed for 30 years. That's a long time.
I was blessed to be on night shift. I was the fire watch. And you've seen the old prison. That's an old place. So I'd have to walk through all the buildings at night. Every creak, sound, air compressor that would go off. You're looking over your shoulder like, what is this? Well, then we had a few escape attempts. And so now we got to go in the yard and look for somebody.
Were you there when the guy, Joel told us the story, a guy fashioned a rope out of dental floss?
Yeah. I was there. I was working that day. I know right where I was. Yeah. First shift. Yeah. And then we had a little guy. He had an accent. And he says he comes running in from, there's a ramp that comes into the main rotunda area. He goes, they're going over the wall. So, but it was a pretty well-planned deal.
Wow. But
We got to set a quick break. We'll be back with more. Dave Deprey, this is fat. We got a lot of stuff to talk to you about.
Okay.
You're cooler than Jim.
Yeah, he is.
He's cooler than us.
That doesn't take
Why
much.
Why does
but you really
tell my kids guys
that?
Are cooler
this guy's
than
awesome.
Us.
You can
All
tell
right,
my kids
back
that.
After this.
Do ever what you want to do, coming over you. Keep on smiling what we go through. One stop to the rhythm that divides you. And it speaks to you like the chorus to the verse. Drop another line like a total with the curse. Coming like a freak show takes the stage. We give them the game.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Our very own lakes can have very high levels of bacteria, E. coli, and algae blooms that you do not want to swim in. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains where it comes from and how it can make you sick.
The Mayo Clinic says it's a bacteria that usually lives in animals' intestines. And this nasty bug gets into our water after recent rain drains urban sewer water and rural agricultural runoff into our lakes and streams. It's a major problem in Wisconsin as fertilizer seeps into our water system from farm fields, alongside tons of manure getting washed into our recreational waters, causing major algae blooms to spark. It's called cyanobacteria, or what we call blue-green algae in our freshwater systems. It's the outbreak of smelly and slimy microorganisms that can kill fish and block sunlight from deeper water organisms. And for us humans, it causes nausea, vomiting, and may progress to more serious, long-term health issues like liver failure or cancer. And it can happen for people swimming in it, eating fish from it, or drinking the infected water. So the DNR and other agencies have to monitor hundreds of lakes and beaches for unhealthy levels. And there's actually an interactive map on their website that you can check out ahead of time. Or if you're already there, signs should be posted at those beaches. Higher temperatures and increased sunlight in summer months encourage and increase these algae blooms, and so does standing water. Remember, if the water looks or smells bad, stay out of it and keep kids and pets and livestock away. And follow advice from officials if the harmful algae is in your water. For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.fm.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be hot and humid again today. The heat index is going to be back up to near 100 or better this afternoon. Then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later today, and some of those could be strong to severe with hail, wind gusts, and tornadoes possible. So stay weather aware here throughout the day today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the interview system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
LGBTQ rights are under attack. At 4:30, Patrick Faribault from Our Lives Magazine joins to discuss what's at stake and how we celebrate Pride right here in Wisconsin. Don't miss the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
From sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome the Green Bay Automobile Gallery's Daryl Burnett. And we rank our all.
Hey, welcome back. Motto of the Mayor here. Good looking Monday morning. 80 degrees in Green Bay, 79 in Appleton, 78 in Oshkosh. High in the high 80s today. I've lost $40. Convoy.
$40 today?
Yeah. Loan me some money.
I do.
Loan me some money.
See,
for everything I've done for you.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. We'll work it out.
All right.
Cool. Are you going to do that coffee run? You drink coffee? There's a great coffee shop next door.
The Creamery.
He won't. John just will pay up, and then I'll buy the coffee.
The Creamery's good. They got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's good. I think I had some great breakfast.
Tell you something funny. So the owner, he actually owns a tire shop in Bellevue.
This is the guy next door on this way, not the Creamery.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So I'm going to buy some tires from him. Okay. So a truck pulls up this morning, and Jim goes, oh, that's the owner of the car. So I go running out. I go, hey, where's my tires? And the guy goes, excuse me, sir. I don't know what you're talking about.
They're the same
wrong
truck.
Guy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, same truck, though.
So, anyway, Dave Deppery, this is fascinating stuff. Tell me a little bit. Okay, we're going to talk. We got a lot of things to talk about. And during the break here, there's some things we can't talk about. But life as a prison guard, tell us about day-to-day what that is like. And what are the people like that are locked up in Green Bay Correctional Facility?
Well, it's a maximum security prison.
Yeah.
You know, and... So it's the minute the door slams behind you when you go to work, you have 8 hours of not knowing what's going to happen, you know, and it could happen in a second.
But that is a tough place. I mean, like as Joe says all the time, no one's in there for missing Sunday school.
Correct. And you said 8 hours, but it's actually, what, 12?
You can. They were doing 12s, and they're moving because of staffing shortages. They had to, you know, it's 24/7 in there, so it doesn't stop. But my thing every morning when I walked in, because I ended up being an 8-to-4 guy. And so the breakfast meal was already going on when I got in. And I could sense every morning I got in if I either smelled burnt toast or mace. Because you could get the smell of, like, there might have been a fight in the dining hall. That's one of the key places that when there's mass movement stuff, they'll do their stuff.
One of the things that Joe had in his book where the prisoners were going to strike over something. They weren't going to, you know, blah, blah, blah.
The hunger strike.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, then you know what? We're canceling the bacon cheeseburger night. And then people are like, okay, we're done.
Well, in there, it can, an example of one thing is there's a guy that he got, they're not inmates anymore. They're persons under our care. I think they changed the name a couple times. Okay. But I've been out of there now for 4.5 years, so I'm hopefully forgetting more. The guy got beat up so bad, and he was laying on the ground.
Is a prisoner or a guard?
A resident.
A resident, okay. That's what you call him. All right.
Yeah. And the other inmates are not going to miss a meal. They walked over the guy. They're going to the kitchen. They're eating. I'm not kidding. And the one I saw, the guy got clubbed over the head with something, and that was a mess. That was probably one of the most gruesome messes I've ever seen. And... we got to get this cleaned up. Chow's coming. Here they come. They're going to eat. We got to filter the guys in. Wow. You know?
Yeah.
You got an average of 750, 800 guys there. They want to eat.
Okay. I got a couple questions for you on that. I want to get back to your racing, but I want to stick with the prison for a little while. I teach at NWTC, and students are there to get an advanced degree.
Just want a quick thing here. Alex from Abram says, it is fun to hear Davey on the radio. Alex from Munsters.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, and the Munsters.
Oh, I mean, that legendary family in racing.
They have done so much to help me keep on the road. And I'll go there. They're keeping one of my trucks together for me right now. It doesn't have much of a body left on it, but I'm going to run it and run it and run it. They've been so generous to so many people over the years of knowing them guys. So Yeah.
But you spent 30 years in the prison. You mm-hmm. must still have some contacts there, followed a little bit. But this is my question. Would you advise someone to look into that? Because when I see the wages, they seem acceptable to me. I mean, mm-hmm. the average like household in Green Bay, it's in $48,000, $50,000, $53,000. And you're saying that at $30, $36 an hour, yeah. that's $72,000 yep. plus the benefits are good, right? Because yep. you get paid for your holidays and stuff, I'm sure. Yep. I don't know what the benefits are, but... To me, financially, that sounds like, wow, if I was 24 years old, got a degree in something, yeah. sociology or whatever, tell me about that.
That's a carrot. Dangle that carrot in front of you. It looks good. It's a lot. A lot of money. But when I started, I did it just because we had a benefit package, sick leave, health insurance. But and then the over time, you got to be there to get the money. So there that carrot's there. If you want to make the money, you can make a lot of money, but you have to be there to get it.
Is it dangerous?
Yes. I would say yes.
As a guard?
Yes, because you're amongst everybody. And I survived it because I had the mindset of anybody could take a wrong turn and be there, whether it be for a heinous crime, minor crime, anybody can. And I treat everybody equally. They're still a human being. Whether I try not to know what they're coming over to see, like in the hospital area I worked, I didn't want to know what they're being seen for, as long as we behave. So I think I made it. I had a guy that mentored me a little bit towards retirement saying, win. Get out of there. You won the game. Get out.
How do you survive? Like if one of us, whatever happens and you accidentally kill somebody or whatever, how would you survive? Like, how would I survive in prison?
Do you get in there and kill somebody just to get some street cred?
Well, that's, I don't know, that's a whole different ballgame. It's just a can of coins.
Answer his question.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Somebody told me one time you would survive because you could be the funny guy and they love people that are entertaining. How does a normal person, average size, you know, not like the tough guy in the cell block, how does somebody survive?
Money. If you have something to offer, I think, to the table, education-wise, there's guys that were doing legal work. Mind your own business, but there's always going to be somebody wanting to know your business. So, people don't, before they go there, you want to be a tough guy, you don't think of the consequences down the road. Like 2 weeks from now, I might not be going home.
You know, I got to tell you something. When I was in, actually right out of high school, I played fast pitch softball in the UP, and the Marquette State Prison was in our league.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and that's a hard core.
That's a hard one, yeah.
Prison. That's all the guys from Detroit, the murderers from Detroit, are sent up there because I think they wanted them to be away from their element. Okay.
Yeah.
So we played phenomenal athletes, I'll be honest with you. But we would have a guard right behind us, with a semi-automatic, like carbine. But. Okay, if you know the old scared straight things, okay, we would have the cons behind our dugout talking about what they wanted to do sexually to us if we come there, okay?
Yeah, I've heard a few of those scared straight programs.
And it's like, wow. I don't care what happens, I'm not going to be this 19-year-old kid going to this prison because life is going to be really, really bad. And they were blatant about it, what was going to happen.
And now you can't talk to people like that anymore.
Really?
Well, you can't go in there. You can go in there and be counseled. They'll have honor inmate kind of groups and stuff. I don't know if they're still doing it, but the scared straight, we had that. But now these kids are soft. It's emotional. You can't do that. You can't yell at them anymore.
So there was this one con, whose name was Delicious. I'm just being totally honest with you.
Oh, no.
Okay. Looked exactly like a Lola Falana.
Okay.
Okay. And she was like coming on to me. And these other cons got so mad, it was unbelievable.
Okay. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
How would I make up a story like that?
Yeah. I mean, and there's people, and whether it be they're doing time, your mind changes, or whatever your preferences are. We had a few that were very feminine in a way, and the way they act and carried themselves.
Lola Falana. She looked just like Lola Falana.
Was it a she?
It was a guy.
Yeah. That looked like Lola Falana.
Yes.
Huh. What's coming on to you?
Yes.
Well, we had
they got mad because they were jealous that she was
flirting with me.
Wow.
Yep.
Yes.
That maybe Lola was their property.
Somebody's property. Absolutely. That's what I mean.
There's stories that
Point where the guard said, "Hey, I got this cell open. If something happens, you run to that cell. We'll lock you in."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I just got to get an answer to your, to my question.
I was a good-looking guy.
Yeah, of course you were, John. Our quarterback.
So you're a baseball player, though, right?
Yes.
So was Lola.
Off the air, I'll ask you a question.
Oh, my God. I could tell you another story. You want me to tell you another story? Quick story. Can I tell you one more story?
Go ahead, and then I'll get to my question.
So I bunted, okay? Fast pitch, softball. I bunted. I'm running to first base, and the throw was up the line. And the first baseman, this big guy, like 6'4", 6'5", his nickname was... I'll just throw. I mean, I'm not going to... His nickname was Black Bob. Okay? That's what they call it.
Okay.
So I accidentally, my shoulder hit his jaw and he knocked him out.
Who?
And the catcher, who was Baby Bolt, was his name, who was a real tough guy. He came over, he put his arm around me in the dugout to let everybody know. So anyway, so the next inning, this I don't make this crap up, okay? So the next inning when, okay, the guy gets whatever. So I come up to bat and the second baseman's name was Shake and Bake. And he goes... Black Bob goes, yo, Shaky, watch out for this dude, this mother bleeper. When he be running, he be mongering smoking. I know.
Oh, my God.
True story.
You've watched The Longest Yard too many times.
Yes. All right. Before we move on, I want to talk about a career.
Yes.
Because people always ask. I'm thinking of this. I'm thinking of that. When they ask about radio, I try to steer them. No, I said, look, if you want to do it, come an intern here, get a feel for how it works. Would you encourage your son or your grandson now, I guess?
That's what I was alluding to. Yep.
You know, I don't think I'd want my children to work in that environment. No.
Okay.
My brother was county sheriff for 24 years.
Yep.
Up in Michigan. Marquette, he was president of the Michigan Sheriff's Association. Yep. Okay. And his son was going into criminal justice, and he absolutely did not want him to be a prison guard and stuff.
Yeah. Well, like I said, for my son, fortunately for him, anybody asks, where's your parents meet? We say we met in prison because my ex-wife now, she worked there.
My grandma did 2 years in federal prison.
She was
working?
No. On the good side? She was on the other side.
She was a con.
Oh, well,
that is kind of funny that we met in prison.
In Joe's book, though, there's several. Couples that, you know, you create a family, things you work, it's tough. You work 60 hours, but in a way it was kind of nice because you can kind of understand what you're doing every day. So,
okay. All right. That answers my question. Yeah. Last one, and then we'll move on to racing. The prison, there's a
lot. I'm not moving on. This is too cool.
We came here to talk about racing. All right. John can do what he wants. The prison has talked about being closed, and it's been debated for years.
Yeah.
It seems like it's getting some momentum now. There's some money set aside. It seems like both Republicans and Democrats. What are your thoughts on that?
I can't see it closing because I was a union steward for 9 years.
Oh.
I got to see some stuff from the Madison paperwork numbers and whatnot. This money's here. Well, all of a sudden that money disappeared. So it's like, well, none of my business, but what's going on here? But I saw the upgrades going on in there.
Yes.
And major
upgrades.
That's what Joe
major
said.
Dollars.
Joe said the same thing. We were at a couple of those ribbon cuttings there, but that's an investment.
Yeah.
Okay. I just was curious.
To build a new one, where do you get the land? Where do you build a new one? And what's the future of corrections or, you know, or whatever incarceration? Because people are still going to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah,
never stopped in my days.
No, I think the market's there.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. we're done with prison stories. Thanks. You guys stay here.
I'm paroled.
Our next show, Mino's Prison Stories. You stick around. We still want to talk to you about NASCAR and a whole bunch of other things. Hey, Depri, this is awesome,
thanks
man.
For being
great
here.
Having you. Back after this.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
We started getting shot at, so we're running and shooting and diving into the ditches and getting up and running some more. We get to the bodies and it dawns on me. How in the hell are we supposed to carry them back? The captain says, "Give me your rifles." So we picked them up and started carrying them back. We were scared out of our minds. They were still shooting at us. How they missed, I do not know. They must have thought we were nuts. We got about a quarter mile back and somebody had decided, to hell with it. Let's go back there and get the truck and pick them up. That was a bad day. I was so scared going back there and trying to carry them. I couldn't even think about what was going on. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this complete story at WISS.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at TheD8Dispensary.com.
Mark your calendars and head to Marinette on July 12th for the 13th annual Logging and Heritage Festival. Located on historic Stevenson Island, there will be free kids activities, food trucks, BMX stunt bike, live music, logging exhibitions, fireworks, and much more. The island opens at noon and the fun doesn't stop until the fireworks are over. It's the Marinette Logging and Heritage Festival on July 13th on Stevenson Island in Marinette. Don't miss it!
This is David Rucker with Bank First. When planning to buy a home, it's easy to focus on the monthly mortgage payment. Don't forget about other costs such as property taxes, homeowners insurance, maintenance, and utilities. At Bank First, we're not just here to get you a loan. We're here to ensure you're set up for success as a homeowner. Let's build a plan that makes your future comfortable, not stressful. Check us out at bankfirst.com. Bank First, your partner in homeownership. NMLS 13930, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Wow.
Wow.
He was sharing some stories.
This is great stuff, Dave. Okay, let's talk a little racing right now.
Because that is really
okay.
What you do now. You're going, what, 4 days a week, you said?
Average, yep.
For the NASCAR.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your favorite place to go?
Yeah. I love Miami.
Okay.
Because we can go down to the Keys, and we always look for a destination restaurant.
I heard Talladega's not as cool as it seems.
You haven't seen anything until you've seen Talladega Boulevard. The infield.
Okay.
The camping.
Crazy, huh?
There's concerts, there's stages. But being a part of it, we don't do that. We get our work done and we go home, back to their hotels, or like this past weekend in Pocono, we had a ski resort lodge home.
Wow.
Our team stayed together. Huge home.
Where do you have the craziest people? Fan-wise. Is it Talladega?
Well, as far as what's going on in the world today, Portland was pretty interesting.
Portland, Oregon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen more the drugs and some of the homeless stuff. It's sad. It really is. But it's everywhere. Like last weekend or 2 weekends ago in Mexico City.
Yeah.
They have 30,000 people homeless down in that city.
Does Jackson, Michigan still hold a race?
Yes. They were there just 2 weeks ago. We were off that weekend. They had the cup cars and the trucks were there.
Okay.
But going through Jackson, that prison there,
yeah,
you're talking with that. Right?
That's a tough place,
yeah,
man.
When you have signs that say "Don't pick up hitchhikers,"
yeah,
and on both sides of the highway there's fence, and it's the prison,
yeah.
And I think there's like 20,000 guys incarcerated.
That's
there.
Why I can't believe what's his name, the actor that we talked about, that's the comedian, he did Home Improvement.
Tim Allen
was in Jackson Prison. Isn't that crazy?
That's where he had to go. I wonder how he survived. Telling jokes.
We were talking about that during the break.
Funny man.
Yeah. There were.
Where do you race locally in Wisconsin?
Now, if I have a time off, I'll go. Like I was in Eagle River. I went up with Joe a week ago. I went to Eagle River for the night. I got home from Mexico.
Hey, and I give Joe credit. He did that whole race and came back. Was here at 7 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah, we saw 28 deer on the way home.
Yeah.
But so locally, if I can go, WIR, because that's where I pretty much grew up watching and got my start officiating there. If I can get there, I haven't been there yet this year. But 141 Speedway.
Yeah.
I love that place. Joe and I used to do those in Tit Stefaniak.
I remember that fun group.
Although if I never hear Joe, when somebody loses a tire, to say, you picked a fine time to leave me loose wheel, if I never hear that again, okay. I'm okay.
Or nothing good could come of this.
I know, exactly.
I'm just wondering you said the market's good, strong, but I'm wondering if you'd run like a come on back thing for those of us who used to go to racing.
Where's it at? Yeah.
Right, it just kind of dropped out. Where's football? I've stayed my whole life.
You got to put on a good show for people.
Yeah, you do.
They want to come early and go home early. I've always lived with that. I've listened to Joe for years over this promotional stuff. And like, you want to get them to the track, make them enjoyable, but you don't want to go there and get like a dirt track. They don't want to go there and get totally covered in mud, hit with rocks, stuff. So you got to try to prepare everything properly.
I got to be honest with you. We actually stopped televising because the dust was so bad it was ruining our cameras and our equipment.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. We were talking about, it's competitive now. I mean, there's so many things to do.
Yeah.
Right?
My gosh.
Look at the paper. Just, you know, for Saturday, a million things to do. And then there's this indoor football. There's outdoor. But they kind of entertain between quarters, it's more. They're either throwing stuff out to the crowd or they're doing a band or a dance or something. Yeah. Even the Bucks, I think, and I don't know that they really need to do that, but that's a lot of fun to go to a game. Yeah. They've really done a good job there, I think, at that arena.
Joe mentioned that, too, with racing. They've had to try to follow those. Our racing,
people come. I mean, we deal with sponsors because the infield pass that people get, they get to come in. They see the trucks. They get to walk in by the garages, but interact by the cars when we do an adjustments. Like, there's certain times you're allowed to fire the motors up. They're there, and they're holding their ears. They're just in shell shock. But they're like, this is so cool. To give a kid a lug nut, you know, or the autograph cards, hero cards they call them. And the fans that collect stuff, they carry backpacks. But it costs the drivers and teams a lot of money for all these cards. And people take them and they sell them on the internet. I've heard about that. Yeah, there's a market for stuff like that. But every week, I'm in a new shirt. It's like,
we're going to be sent into a break, but we want to talk more about the veteran project you guys are involved with.
That's great. Thank you for your
the day after high school you signed?
Five days after high school. I was gone.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to high school?
Green based.
Okay. And you signed up right. So you had it all planned.
Well, it wasn't college material. I got a letter of intent. They intended me not coming.
I got seven of those.
Wow.
So 5 days after high school, I was in the Air Force. My whole family served. My dad, uncles.
And then you lost an uncle.
Yep.
In the war?
Yeah, World War II. Wow. That was my dad's oldest brother.
Is that where your passion comes from?
Serving. And seeing the look on my grandpa's face when he saw us in uniform. My cousins that went in too, same thing. Yeah.
And that's impressive.
That's awesome.
Did you ever get stationed up at K.I. Sawyer?
I wanted to.
You know what happens up there? People from the south in different places get stationed there, and then they live there. Because they love that area around the lakes.
Yeah. I was up in Popple Creek deer hunting when I was in high school, and those jets came flying over the woods.
The B-52s?
I think they were the F-4 Phantoms at the time.
We'd be playing a ball game, and a B-52 would be coming. We were in Gwynn. We'd be playing in Gwynn.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And the game would stop. The referees, the umpires, would call a timeout because everybody just wanted to stand and look at that thing coming in for a landing.
Yeah.
They were so amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I got a great stories on mine. I was in Ellsworth Air Force Base.
Wow. Good for you. Yeah. All right.
At the break, I'm going to ask you about... What do you think's
convoy.
Going on?
Yeah.
Don't record what we talk about during the breaks.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. This morning, Pentagon experts continue assessing how much damage the U.S. air attacks did to Iran's nuke program. Iran's foreign ministers in Moscow to meet with Russian President Putin. Homeland Security warning state and local officials of a heightened threat environment. ABC's Rachel Scott at the White House.
This move by the president is dividing the Republican Party. He campaigned on keeping America out of foreign conflict. So on one end, Republican leadership standing by the president, supporting this move. But a handful of Republicans are speaking out, including Congressman Thomas Massie, calling the president's moves here unconstitutional.
More air attacks between Iran and Israel today. Crude oil prices jumped, fell, then regained about half the losses today. Nearly 50 heat records for this day could be equaled or broken, forecasters say. About 150 million Americans are under heat alerts from Texas to Maine. In the seventh game, the Oklahoma Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers 103-91 and are the new NBA champs. This is ABC News.
You can always